some aspect of physics, I'm not saying it is some deep physics, but I think it is something interesting for physics. It's, of course, I think it's the perception rule that I said. And I guess you go to the review and then maybe make some kind of
informal solutions.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to explain what also perception rules. And why I do like them, because they, at least personally, they help me understand some aspect of experimental quantum physics, because as I can see it, these experiments are designed to avoid them. So I'm going to explain what I mean by that. And why we can avoid them in some scenario, even in cryptography, and why, unfortunately, we can always we cannot avoid them in some scenario in quantum, and then why we can always avoid them in the standard scenario where quantum communication is allowed between teachers. So I guess what I find special about this work is that it raises some questions about simple things, about simple things as how do we rotate spin 1F particles. And I guess the issue here is that if you believe in conservation laws, we should not allow, be allowed even to rotate the spin of an electron. And of course, as physicists, especially if you're very materialist, you're most likely have already an answer to this question. We rotate spin of electron very easily, and I was talking to a few people over here, and I could notice that the explanation is not always the same from one people to another. So I guess that the question is not that trivial. Some people will talk about spontaneous symmetry breaking, and some other will say, "Oh no, let's just add some reference frame." I would not have time to go into all these different ways to look at this and compare. And I represent one way, which I think is is consistent with other ways. So what is the specification rule? Let me start by something simpler, which is the selection rule. And the selection rule basically is just a conservation law. If you take an example of, it says that all, you can think of the Hamiltonian here, but I have to refer to it in terms of the unitary transformation which is executed on the system. All of them must commute with the symmetric group. For instance, if you take three spin 1/2 particles, well, we know that it breaks into three IREP, and therefore the possible actions. The transformation on the system is basically this U has to be detected here. Should I make this is the I for times some state. Sorry, this is the identity up to a complex constant, and this is the identity. The only freedom that you have is on the unitary transformation that can mix these two different IREP, which is sometimes called Clever space. So if you have three spin 1/2 particles, you're in a situation where actually, if you believe in this perception rule, you're in a situation where actually what you have is only one qubit. Everything else is like no space, no information. This is like a one-dimensional space, and each of them is like a one-dimensional space, which only a constant phase, just let's put there. And here we have only the offer a constant phase. Okay, so that basically says what I explained before. Okay. I want just to dedicate a bit to what I've said in words before. Okay. I'll just give this example. If you only have two SU2, this might know it in case, just for those who might not know. If you have two SU2, two spin one half particles, then the different irreducible representation, these things here. Here are all three, but if you only have two, what you obtain is a singlet. It's a singlet, so it's a one dimensional, and the other one is three dimensional. So you get the three triplets, you get the triplets, and the singlet. So it means that you have, if you have two spin one half particles, essentially, if you believe, if you accept the superstition rule, you have no room for any any information. So. In the case of charge superstition rule, well, they're all one-dimensional. All the RF are one-dimensional. And in this case, the situation is simpler. And, all those who have the same charge, the different RF can be labeled by the charge. And all those who have the same charge, it's fine, you can do anything you wish in this sector. But you cannot mix two different sectors with different charge. Okay? And this, for instance, these proton electron lag, I guess that's simple. These are the same charge, they belong in the same sector. Of course, I'm not claiming that you can pass from there to there because of model conservation law. But at least if it was only for the charge, we could. In the case of charge, if you make a product of two representations, the sector for the products is simply those space which has a fixed charge. So you just sum the charge of each part. That's simple. In the case of non-abelian rules, what we saw is that actually the product of two RF is more complicated. If you have, for instance, two spin one half, you don't get another spin one half. You get a direct sum of a singlet and a triplet. And if you have a direct sum here, and you make a product with another direct sum, then there exist many copies of the same RF, and these many copies of the same RF correspond to your space where you can play with. So what is the superstition rule? The only thing I said was for conservation laws. And we call this a selection rule restrict the possible unitary transformation of the system. They must commute with the action of the symmetric rule. We can think, what I'm trying to say here is that we can think that the nature, actually that's not something that we have to be testing experimentally, whether nature is like that or not. But perhaps nature is such that she provides some oracle, some kind of magical machine that if you push on a button and require some superposition of a state which is in superposition of different charge, it will just provide that state. That doesn't contradict the fact that dynamic has preserved the charge. It's just somehow they are available right from the beginning from some mysterious process, I don't know. These states could be available in principle. And either those who have stated, for instance, the rule, the specific rule for charge, they just claim that actually that nature is not like that. Nature does not create like that. You cannot have a state within superposition of different charge. Yes, yeah, question?
Yeah. I'll come to an example. So let's go.
Okay. So if we have some kind of objection, that's what I like. And basically the superstition rule would say that if you think of a state as a density matrix, it must also ask for the action. It must also commute to all the action of the symmetry. Okay. So and yes.
I mean, if you don't have superstition, but you have superstition, could you observe?
That's a question I just asked. If you assume that these states exist, but you have no way to find out it's not an oracle that was on the question button guarantee you that you have this state. Suppose this state exists in nature, But it's not something you don't know. You try to find out if it is this state or another state. Then it's useless to say that they exist because you cannot distinguish them. So your physics would be exactly the same as if they don't exist. The superposition will not exist. But that's different from saying that if there is an oracle, when you press a button and you this button gives you a state, which is a superposition of different charge, that's completely different. Actually, this physics is totally different. If you have an oracle that gives you a superposition of different charge, you can do things that you would not be able to do otherwise.
Even in the present box?
Yes, of course, that's the point.
Okay.
Even in the present box, a selection loop. Now, I said before, if you have two spin half particles, the only thing that really goes along your point, if you have only spin one half particle, two spin one half particle, the two things that you can see is same depth in the two tests. Now, suppose you get that you are in space and you have a singular vertex, and you create one up and then one down. Okay? Then you send it to someone to a receiver. Now, the receiver, what's happening is that here it's fine. I'm not saying we know we can get up and down. Of course we can. But that's because we have a singular apparatus that is there to as a reference frame. Now, if you send that to a receiver which doesn't know about the singular apparatus, it's somewhere else in space, then what you will see is that because it doesn't know the orientation of your apparatus, you would see a perfect randomization of the up and down with the S3 action. And this would correspond to a mixture of a same gap in the 3-3 test. So this is consistent with the fact that you cannot distinguish. The only thing you can distinguish is that either it's a feedlet or a same gap. Now, the way out of superposition rules. Okay, it's kind of important to get rid of them because that doesn't fit with our daily life. Isn't it? We know that we rotate qubit all the time, and so the way out of special rules is that for the actual symmetry in nature, I'm saying that where it's important, we must use a transformation that respects the special rules. We don't, we still accept it, but on a larger system, R. And this R is like the triangular apparatus that I mentioned before, and the X-4 system, the small system, to simulate the transformation on A. The larger system R is called the reference system. Yeah, you can include output registers which store atom of Rosenkranz are included in the system A if you wish. So that you can only think about unitary transformation. Okay. Now, how does simulation work? Now, I'm going to say something. Actually, it was funny because we were discussing me and Dr. Prescott, and I was thinking about these superposition rules, and I was wondering. I kept asking him basically a simple question: how do you rotate the qubits? And you know, he knew what I meant. I wanted to have a clear model of what is the reference frame and what is the and how you actually map the your small space. You map it into a bigger space so that you can see as if you were acting on the normal business that I'm talking about. So I think the conclusion is that what we do is a kind of generalization of a work that was done by Aronov and Soskin in the 70s. They already thought quite a lot about that, but it was mostly in the case of charge. And what we do here is we kind of generalize this idea with any abelian group. And what you need as a tool, is your reference frame. Your reference frame must be actually, the state of the reference frame must be a level by the limit of the group. It must be, think about the third apparatus. This one is not exactly the case. It doesn't totally break the symmetry. If it has a given orientation, and you still have the freedom to make a rotation, and your third apparatus is still the same. But you could think of a more complex apparatus, which has different two types of spin, one half, one in one direction, one in the other direction, and that will totally break the symmetry. Okay, so what I have in mind is a system R, which is classical. Okay, it's classical, but totally break the symmetry. In the sense, if you act on this with the symmetry on that system, well, you get a different classical state every time. So there is a one-to-one mapping between the element of your group and the state, the classical state of your reference frame. And that's the type of thing that we need to actually explain how we rotate a particle, a spin one hour particle, or any kind of particle, depending on your symmetry group. This is a typical thing that we saw that we see often, but that's the case where you can create, in the case of U1, you could have this corresponds to state phi, and so this case, because we go from minus infinity to infinity, these are two orthogonal states, and they are one-to-one correspondence with the possible values of phi. Okay. And this can be generalized in the case of an abelian group. If you think that D, Q, I, J, and this over the of phi, that's your representation of your element phi belonging to J. Okay. And if that's the representation of the phi in J on the I and Q, then you can write for some other side, you simply write summation over Q, I, J, and add a factor here which I forget. There's some factor here which depend on Q, some F Q. And D, Q, I, J, phi, and then you pick some orthogonal states, Q, I, J. And that state you can prove for compact group. In that case, it's a finite group because I put a direct sum. But if you have a compact group, you just rotate by an integral. You can show that these states are actually orthogonal and that they transform like that. They transform like that. So you have, because what is built in this way is actually some my spherical like parameters, which are the classical state corresponding to each element of the group. Now, let's forget about the way we actually build that state. Just assume that we have this system, this classical system, which is one the states are one-to-one correspondence to the element of the group. So how do we use this to rotate an element? Okay, so the simulation of any transformation M on A, you simply replace M, which is act on A, by this bigger operator, which acts on the bigger system. And that's very intuitive. That's very intuitive because it says, actually, this is your orientation in space. And it says, actually, when you want to do M, you don't do M, but you change the basis in accordance with your orientation before doing M. Okay? And it turns out that even though M is not enough, This sum is a something that can use with the action of the group. So basically, it's kind of very natural thing. It says that okay, well, if you have you assume that your stringer lack apparatus has a fixed orientation, okay, it's known orientation, and you rotate the spin relative to that stringer lack apparatus. That's not allowed. That breaks the conservation law. But if you assume that actually you don't know, and which is very natural, you don't know which in space, what does it mean to say that the parameter has a given orientation? If you assume that it can be an anisotropy, which I will explain later on when I will give the initial state, your reference frame is initially in any is a superposition of all possible orientation, then it's okay, then it doesn't break the conservation law. Okay, well, I'm just going to prove why it does tell you. And that's another way of looking at this M invariant. You just think of it as the result of the schizomorphisms. if you look at it this way. So basically what I'm doing here, I'm just mapping what's going on on the small system into the larger system, into the reference frame. So what is the initial state? Well, the initial state, you just take the all possible position of the reference frame, the solution of all possible states of the reference frame, and this is your initial state. You tensor project this with your state, and then this gives you any initial state that you wish, and this also is anxiety. And of course, but because it's an isomorphism, that's a simple thing. It just notice the fact that we have an isomorphism. So it means that actually, after this isomorphism, you add what you want. You do M on psi. Okay. So and what I think is interesting is actually, if this is the true, that's the way we break, we avoid question rules. Well, then we should see this in experiments. Okay, therefore we should see that this is the issue of important experiments. This reference frame must exist. And therefore when we for every example that they thought that's always works, I believe in the theory. In the case of coherent state, we have a superposition of different irreducible representation of the two. Take care. I didn't correct that. It's a photon number. A photon number. The spin is the same. It's a given mode. Okay, we have a given mode, and then we have a superposition of different photon numbers. And in the case, it's not allowed, because energy is a conserved quantity, so you should not be allowed to have a coherent superposition of different photon numbers. And the only way we actually see these things is because we have a reference frame. And the reference frame is always a bigger frame beam that they add as a reference frame when they do these experiments. And in solid state physics, we have a description of a state with different charge. And again, here we have a reference system, which is a superconducting material that they use in these experiments. In the case of ion flux, the atoms are in superposition of different energy levels. And again, here there is a reference frame, which is a little bit. So it gives some viewpoint on experiments. What I'm saying here is that this new viewpoint depends, from my point, funny for me, but a new viewpoint. We say simulation, but in fact, simulation is the real process. The only thing that exists in nature are these systems with a reference frame. So we never have a rotation of a single qubit for a spin. The real process is the one, is this one, with the S, this one, with this one. That's really what occurs in nature. Yeah. So, and so this brings us a new cryptographic opening. In the standard approach, without the question rule, we assume that the cheater can execute any iterative transformation. Now, if we accept this question rule for a symmetric group G, we now have that the cheater can only execute iterative transformation that commute with a symmetric group of G. And in principle, this opens new possibilities for a designer of protocols. Now, the obvious answer that people can provide, I just explained that we can simulate anything. So why the cheater just ask to simulate the attack would be fine. But the problem with this simple idea is that the honest guy doesn't go along with the simulation. So even though the cheater is like the honest guy is like the receiver in my standard lab example, which doesn't share the orientation of the standard lab apparatus. And even if the cheater say please, I give you the orientation. Please go along with my attack. Use that for reference frame. He would say, well, good will, something like that. Okay. So that doesn't work. I have a simple idea. So and the standard scenario in cryptography is we have n bar keys. And they want to accomplish some task. You don't care what they want to accomplish, but they want to get some kind of a exchange of information where this information is not known, this is going to be known, things like that. And we say that the protocol is unconditionally secure against an adversary that can go K less than N party. It means that we let someone decide who is corrupted, who is not K, who got to decide who is to break the protocol. And we in this case, we usually mean that the K corrupted party have access to unlimited quantum power and quantum communication. That's the standard scenario of quantum cryptography. It means that actually the cheaters become a single part. Single part. Now, okay. Yeah, I mean, I won't have the time to go to the tool, but that's fine because it's only the proof always more difficult anyway. The main result is that for any symmetrical key, for every task, if the task is impossible when there is no suppression rule, it is also impossible when the suppression rule applies. And this says that suppression rules are useless in the standard scenario for quantum cryptography. But of course, to make this more interesting, I'd like to say that it's not trivial. It's not trivial because there are other scenarios. For instance, if the cheaters are only allowed to have classical communication and quantum operation locally, then people have designed a protocol which do something with suppression rules which are not possible if they're not there. So they are not totally useless. They don't make no difference at all. They do make a difference. They simply make no difference if we assume that the cheaters can communicate freely. So, and one key ingredient, which I discovered later on, sorry, but that I there may be a way out of it without using it, at least for the way I think about it. A key ingredient is that every valid state, cycle of the system, can be purified into an equivalent state with a larger system, which is not chargeable, which means that this state is totally invariant under the action of the group. I really not time to go into the proof. I mean, did I use all my 60 minutes and something from the time I got? I've 20 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Good. I saw only two. I didn't see the zero. Oh, good. I'm out of time. Good. And I was kind of funny because I had one thing fast so fast. That time. Okay, good. So I have time to go into the pool, but before I go into the pool, is there any question there? I mean, this was okay, but basically. Yeah? Well, what I mean by quantum communication?
Yes, that's the thing that you're allowing the LOCC.
Yeah. Okay. You want to know what is LOCC? Well, I was thinking about it. So quantum communication, it just means that the two parties are allowed to exchange any kind of particles in any kind of state. It just means that they can build any system they wish and just send it to the other party. That's all. It just means you change. This was that belongs to the first party. After the communication, it belongs to the other party.
You assumed at some point, I'm not sure, did you assume that the state, combined state of the entire system has to be invariant under the group?
Yes,
but if you did, I don't understand why that's a necessary assumption.
I think that the suppression rule does say that if you have N system, and you consider this as an isolated system, then all actions on that system must commute, all operations on that system must commute with the action of the group on that system and part of the system.
The operations must commute. I thought you assumed that the only valid state for it was
also
invariant.
Also.
That's the part I don't
know. You don't accept that the state initially. Okay, that's I like to understand why. I mean, and that's a postulate. That's the postulate that people have when they change the basic multi-question rules. Was stated years ago as a bit of charge, but we believe that if we have a system, a big system, which has charge, it cannot be in superposition of different charge. And I'm using the same postulate here in the general case. Assume that whatever symmetric group you have, you cannot have a superposition of states with different areas belonging to different areas.
Right. This is like saying that the charge is zero. At least that's what I am assuming. That the total charge is zero.
I missed that.
I thought you were assuming something like the total charge must be zero.
It's in the protocol. It's in the protocol. You have a system which is not the total zero. Let's say that's 10^-1, whatever. It's a many in this case, of course, same one. But it's always possible to add an extra system, and so that the previous system will be the same as before if you cut trace out the extra system. But yet the total system will have total charge zero. That's the statement. So you're interested in a state that has a spin 1/2, okay? And it's always possible to have an extra system which will correspond to the same state locally, to add an extra system so that the previous system will correspond to the same state, but the total system will have total charge zero. Is that an answer to your question?
Sort of.
So it's always possible to have a state psi which belongs to some sector, let's say it's been 1/2. You can add a system psi tilde, okay, on a larger space. Okay, this is the state from A, belongs to A plus C, and that system, as if you only look at A, it is not distinguishable from psi. It just plays exactly the same role at psi. But on the larger system, it has a positive center. That's a positive center. It is in the end of the league.
On that example, if you look at two spinning and you add an extra system, to have the spin total zero, you have to be in the same graph, which is in the diagonal of this.
It is an angle. It's confusing because it seems that it has to be an angle that for the other system has to be a mixture. But again, we are in a superficial world, super selection. Words, and therefore, if that is totally unmixed, this will be a pure state, this other one can be totally mixed when you trace out, but it's still undistinguishable. You still can use that mixture, it will not make no difference at all in place of the pure state. If you live in the world of which species and the rule applies, that I know what this is very confusing. I mean, you have somehow to start thinking in a different way.
Why there's no difference?
But you're saying that mixture of different sectors sometimes are indistinguishable from just something which is just in one sector.
A mixture of different sectors? No, I'm not saying that. This will still remain, let's say, psi in some sector. Okay. If you purify it, all the mixture will still remain the same sector.
Okay.
But it will be a mixture. But because it's in the same sector, you can distinguish them. That's the point. Well, in other words, take an example. You want to have an up in the same 1/2. Two simple things. You want to have an up. Well, it's kind of funny. And remember, I said up and down are totally undistinguishable. There is no qubit here. It's just one dimensional. So a lot of people say it's simple. In the case, you just do the psi minus. The same thing. The same thing is that this is up on A, and this is the same thing on A, B. This is as good as this one.
It is because
we live in a world where there are expression rules. And therefore, there is no way. Remember, they all identity. All action on the A has to be identity on that array of the phase. So this will act on this the same way as this. You will not ever see any difference.
Okay, for your spoiler selection rule, I'm happy. If I go in neutron computation, then the NMR machine up instead of psi AB.
That's what I'm telling you. In your NMR machine, NMR is kind of different because it's kind of simulate. Let's talk about that. I know the case. I'm going to speak about NMR. I know the quantum machine. Well, if you have up and down, you actually don't have up and down. You have a reference frame, and everything that you do is a reference frame. And honestly, sometimes I wonder if when we consider error correction and things like that, we should not take into account actually the real process is never an up and down. Oh, it depends, but it's yes, it went up. You can always have to get in many ways, which doesn't break the special rule. But you build a system where you know that spin, the qubit, is actually a spin one half system. Then the real system that you have to worry about is the spin one half together with the reference frame. And therefore, when you do error correction, for some regression, this can lead to that system, you have to worry about the big system.
Just I think maybe your confusion is that B is not a spin one half, it's a very large space. So this is the same with J zero, very large space.
Well,
it's
actually
then I'm a little worried.
Yeah,
because you add only two spin half.
Then it might stand up.
No. I'm saying this is really two spin one half. You got it. It is another spin one half. If you want this to be a set to be a frame, then you need to be a big system.
Right.
But if you want only the claim that this is a total of zero, and so that the A part is the same in both cases, then you don't need a big system for B. It could be just another spin one half. Of course, for a reference frame, that's another thing you can use the B part of the B. Including the reference frame is an example of that. One example of this situation, there are many possible ways to qualify this state. And one way is to add a reference frame. Because the reference frame, together with the state, isn't a total transfer. Yeah, 10 minutes, fine. I don't mind too much if I don't throw too much into the pool. I think it's the first thing we're doing here. I think that's useful, I think. I would take it.
Okay, go ahead. Just make sure that this went down. So the only superpositions that are physically relevant are superpositions of different sectors.
To answer your question, the only superpositions which are relevant are those which are in different copies of the same array. That's what I said. You have two one half, three one half. You get one. You have two copies of the one half. That will give you a qubit. That's okay. Yes, I think you use that. Okay, the pool. I will go back and see what's going on. Okay, so we consider the purified protocol that is obtained after both parties replace the initial state by an equivalent purification with the total transfer. We just assume, and I'm just explaining that if you trace out the extra system, it just makes no difference. So you don't really change the protocol, so that's it. So that would be to prove that this other protocol is the same as the previous protocol, would not be that difficult. So only the initial state is modified, not the operations. So if you just purify every initial state and you keep the same operation. And then, okay. And the new initial state is equivalent to the original initial state. So if you don't use the extra system. And that would be the case because in the honest case. So an attack against the purified protocol, if it respects the special rule, is also an attack against the original protocol. Fine, because it's always possible for the cheater to add the system, to use the purification instead of the original state. The cheater can always use the original state. So therefore, if you have an attack against the purified protocol, it's also an attack against the original protocol. So it would be sufficient to defeat the purified protocol with an attack that respects the special rule. The only thing we need to do is to defeat the purified protocol with an attack that respects the special rule. That attack does not expect. So this attack exists by the way. That's the situation. Okay, we know that we want to prove that if an attack exists in the world where there is no superselection rule, okay, then there is also an attack even if there are superselection rules. Superselection rules do not count. Okay, if you go to the protocol. So this attack exists by hypothesis. We thought loss of generality, let us assume that Alice is the chief. So the disalliance protocol is the following. So you have a branch of action, broad act, Alice act, broad act, Alice act, on the initial state, and the initial state of Alice can be anything. Because she is the cheater. Broad act is still the same. And these do not respect the superselection. So what we want is to have another attack where these respect the superselection. Now, what we do is we'll read, Now, consider the simulation of this entire protocol. Okay, that's the original idea. Let's consider the simulation of the entire protocol. And let's see if the reference system used by the simulation. So, you have a big reference system that is used by the simulation. Note that if the UJB, this action of God, respects the special rule, it commutes with the action of the group. And its simulation is necessarily do nothing on the regular frame. What I'm saying here, it just turns out that you can show, and that's what we can have, the missing one inheritance that we need to understand this move, is that if you want to simulate an operation which every day respects a certain rule, when you do this isomorphisms, it will map and do nothing on the reference frame and just do very naturally, just do what you do usually. So the same thing is true for the initial state. But we will also need that it has a dot charge zero. Okay, so what we obtain is that here is the simulation. And this is also the simulation. But we just claim that actually the graph doesn't just. This is the point I said before. If you're once you're careful and look at the details, you see that actually Bob, even if he doesn't want to participate, he actually do. Because doing what you do normally is actually a participation in the attack, in the situation. So that means that this entire thing is a simulation of the attack. But it turns out that this simulation is nothing else than an attack on the original protocol where Bob is still honest. But Alice now do something with respect to this person. So that's the basic idea. And for the initial state here, we need to use the fact that S is defined on both C, A, plus B. So in other words, this isomorphism works for any small system, A, plus B. Okay. And we can show this. We can show that if we do this isomorphism on the entire initial state, you get it's the same as attacking isomorphism only on the list side, and both sides feel the same. So I guess it's just to conclude what I already mentioned at the beginning, that in the simulation, but begins with the same initial state and acts as in the simplified protocol. So this attack is an attack against the simplified protocol, an attack at the expected protocol. And as we said previously, it is also an attack against the original protocol. So that's come through the proof. So how much do I was time about 5 minutes? I wasn't sure. Okay, so yeah, we can go. So on that.
Okay, I have just a question about the model. So suppose that there's Alice and Bob, and Alice is dishonest, like Gavin and Bob are dishonest. Now suppose that Bob has to prepare something in which would break the super selection rule. So it means that he has to do it on the system and the reference plane. Means that. Okay, now he sends the system to Alice. Do you assume that Alice has access to Bob's reference frame?
No, that's the point. I don't assume it because Alice, that's the key point here. Is that normally for a simulation, they must share, or they might have two different frames, but they have a fixed relative orientation. Okay, that would work. No. So they call for this simulation to be a real simulation of the original protocol, so that nobody can see the difference between these two. Normally, at least, we have to use the reference frame. We also have to use the reference frame to be a full simulation. But what I'm saying is that it turns out that because Bob, we start with a protocol which lives in the stress relation world, okay, and before Bob is doing something which I really expect the stress and therefore we just know to need know mathematically that this when you have large isomorphisms to an operation that I really expect the stress relation rule. The new operation that you get in the larger space is nothing else than the same thing as before, together with the identity on the reference frame. So it means that actually the cheater doesn't have to send the reference frame to the LS guy. Because even though the LS guy doesn't want it, he actually do the simulation. He does not expect the simulation. That's not fair. That's not for your question, I didn't understand.
I didn't understand in the beginning when you made this distinction between the selection rule and super selection rule. So if you have a restriction on all your transformations that they be invariant under the symmetry curve, then your measurements will also be invariant under that group. And then if I look at the set of all the states, I can now group them into equivalence classes that all have the same statistics over outcomes. And so then to further impose that can't prepare states with coherence seems
no, it is not. I understand what you mean. That's a point that some people are not aware of. Yeah, I've seen this perception come again and again. I do. The first time I proved that a bit commitment was still impossible in this specialization world, what I did prove is that I don't know what physics is. I said I would compare two cases. I would compare the case where this physics is kind with us, you can press button and it will give us something that does not affect the specific. Okay, that can be a superposition in different sectors. Okay. And with that tool, without this trick of this without using that simulation, I can use this as a resource. And it allows me to do anything I wish, to break all the suppression rules. Even though we have a conservation law, if you give me that, I say, you give me the state I wish. But I know which state it is, that's the key point. I have to know which state it is. That's kind of a ripple. I press that button and I get that state. I know that is this proportion of state in this sector. Now, then I can use this as a resource and I can break any conservation law associated with that state. So, and also show that I said, well, I don't know what physics is, and I don't think nobody knows for sure what is the real case, but I think most people tend to believe that there is no particle that can press a button and give you a superposition of state to different vectors. But since I was not that much knowledgeable on that, I consider the two cases. And because in this case, where the nature will give us a superposition which is not allowed, according to the physical rule. And I also consider the case where the point I want to make is that no, it does make a difference. It is important it does make a difference if you have an oracle that gives you a state that does not respect suppression rules. It's a completely different physics. Now, the point that you have in mind is that if you assume that in nature these states exist, there is state that violates suppression rules, but you don't know. You don't know which one does. Then you cannot distinguish this state. That physics, that, as you said, would be simpler to assume that they don't exist because it makes no difference. Okay, if you see, but this is different. If you have a miracle that gives you the state and you know the state, that's powerful. If you only say, "Oh, these states exist," but you cannot, you're not tell. If it is the state or not the state, then you have to consider a mixture, and then it just disappears. It's not. It's like they don't exist.
So, So if I can add a comment to that, it seems to me that the way you're speaking, that you're taking the quantum states sort of represent the reality, what's actually there, and that there's a difference between having something in a coherent superposition and having that thing, for instance, be entangled in the whole state having no coherence, and that there's something physically different about those two situations. And it seems to me that the various sorts of things you're seeing here is that there's an isomorphism between the description where you have everything being invariant under the action of the group and a large Hilbert space, and a description where you have a small Hilbert space and things are covariant under the group, tells you that the states aren't describing reality, they're just sort of describing, for instance, the relation between your system and the reference.
I just want to make on the same point as you always said, I come in on a different point, just make sure I understand.
I'm just commenting on something that appeared in your, I understood your description, but what I'm saying is something fundamental to that notion is that the state describes reality.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, don't you find that a bit at odds with what you're finding, the whole message of this is kind of work?
I think we can add this description, and I think I'd like to go ahead and I can just try to say, I don't understand this whole distributed mind. What I know is that this world, in which there is a reference frame, seems to me that it is different from the world where there is no reference frame, because if we were in a world where there was no reference frame, I would look at an experiment and I could see it. I would not be surprised if I see actual experiment that what takes the spin of a particle. You know, what I know is the spin of a particle without anything that can play the role of the reference. Whereas if I live in a world where there is a reference frame, it's totally isomorphic. Totally isomorphic, right? But when I look at the physical world, I'm expect to see this reference frame. I'm expect to see this ID on this superconducting material. So it seems to me that it makes a difference between two different worlds. But maybe I missed your point, though.
Okay, so let's continue the discussion. Oh, we have one last question. No, it's no problem.
Can I ask you?
Well, we can't do one.
Please,
no comments, because we can continue during the break.
Yeah. But in consciousness, you talk about LCC. And that seems to correspond to conservation of local charge.
I think so. In
the standard quantum information, LCC with entanglement is no different from no LCC, right?
Uh-huh.
Because we can do different provision, but we discussed that earlier yesterday, that it's not obvious how to different provision with entanglement with superposition. Do you have any intuition whether entanglement along with LCC is any more powerful than LCC by itself?
I think the answer doesn't help. I think the answer doesn't help. I think that's part of the paper. It's in the paper of remember we did the work on that ID. Yeah.
Okay, so let's next speaker again. Speaker break is coming and soon, and let's meet in 12:20. Thank you.